Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
What's up, you scruffy-looking Nerf herders? Yeah, it's me, Kevin Goatee, gutting the sacred cow. I gotta make this quick. I am packing to go on vacation, and, well, here we are. We're gonna do another episode. Guess what? Lisa Curry, comic for Jim Jefferies, opener for Jim Jefferies, is gonna come on and explain why Rushmore, the second and last film allowed by this man, done by Wes Anderson, is Rushmore. So she's not a fan of Rushmore. I grabbed A.C. Rowe. You know him from a few past episodes. And we're going to make heads or tails or double zero or zero. I don't know. I'm just in a kind of gambling mood. You know that. Let's see if Lisa Curry can come out here and flunk Rushmore.
Gather round, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go. Some people kinda like it, yeah, it's trending right now.
Yeah,
that doesn't matter, cause we're good in the sacred cow.
San Dimas High football rules. Lisa Curry, guest of the program. How are you today?
Hey, I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Great. Do you know what film that quote is from?
No. And it could have even been something I've seen 50 times. I'm just that bad with movie quotes.
Returning panelists to the show, A.C. Rowe returning. Sir, how goes it?
It goes really well, Kevin. How are you?
Doing delightful. Do you know what film that quote is from?
You know, had you not said it and not asked me and not put me on the spot like you do all the time, I've never gotten one of yours right. I'm going to say Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I would have guessed Fast Times.
You
That's
guys,
my only guess.
You guys are in the right genre, but I thought this was a Clueless. Layup. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
They're in San Dimas. That makes a lot of sense.
You're not going to believe this. I've never seen it.
Whoa.
Homework. I mean, it's not a.
I know, it's bad.
I don't know how old you are. I'm just going to assume that you're close to, I don't know, ish us. So this is a film that our age group would have caught. But
here's
not.
The thing. I grew up in a one TV household. So if I didn't want to watch whatever horseshit my dad was watching, my only other option was go outside. So it was go outside.
You're Amish?
So, oh, wow. Pretty much.
Oi. Okay. All right. Well, there we go. Kevin Goatee, A.C. Rowe, joined by Lisa Curry. Today, folks, some of you who have went on to say, I don't think this film qualifies. And I'm going to say it does, because this is the second and last Wes Anderson film that we will allow in this podcast. The first one was Royal Thank Tenenbaums.
See, I love that one.
Dumb one. Well, I fucking hated it. So listen to that episode, why it stinks and all that stuff. But Lisa has chosen the other film that is allowable by my standards, and that is Rushmore. 1998 budget of $10 million, a box office haul of $17 million. Turn that into 2023 money, $18.8 million budget, $32.1 million box office haul. This thing didn't make any money, but it didn't get anybody fired. That's the old rationale here. IMDb, as we know, is a scale 1 through 10 with decimal points. Lisa, what do you think Rushmore scored on the old 1 to 10?
What do I think other people said of it?
IMDb, which is an aggregate.
7.8.
7.8. How about you, AC Rowe?
I'm going to say like an 8.4.
I'm going to say Lisa's closest by saying 7.6.
Oh. Ooh.
Not bad. Ooh. Not bad. Critics, Rotten Tomatoes score 1 through 100. You folks know the drill. AC, I go to you first this time. Critics, Rotten Tomatoes score, Rushmore.
I'm going to say it was his second film and everybody fell in love with him, due in large part to the film. Critics had to like it. I'm going to say it's high. It's somewhere in the 90s, like 92, 93.
Well, why don't we pick one of them?
92.
How about you, Lisa? What do you think?
I'm going more like 80.
I'm going more like AC gets the points, 90 by critics.
The critics loved it.
Oh, this is a critic's absolute wet dream film. We'll get into that later. How about you? Back to you, Lisa. Audience, what do you think the audience gave this on the old Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, 90.
90, AC Rowe.
I'm going to say like a 75.
I'm going to say you're as inaccurate as Ryan Tannehill out of the pocket. Hey, 91. Now. 91.
Dang, I was the man is too. Injured.
He can't play football right now. Leave him alone. He's also going to be no longer be a Titan anymore. Leave it alone.
He can't play football, but he's not injured as well.
This is true.
Quotes. Are you a neurosurgeon? No, I'm a barber, but many people make that mistake. Fun. This one kind of caught me by surprise. I almost laughed. My safety school is Harvard.
That one was clever.
I thought it was very clever. That's why I wrote it down.
Oxford,
how about you, Lisa?
Sorbonne and then Harvard.
Yep. Lisa, any quotes jump out at you?
Shit. No, I just watched it. I literally just finished watching it 10 minutes before we jumped on. And I was like so frustrated rewatching it. I thought, why didn't I pick something that I secretly like?
Well, that's not the idea of the show.
Why am I having to watch this again? It's so bad. I mean, I guess maybe there was Bill Murray line. It wasn't even that funny. It was just, I guess I'm just picking something that made no sense to me. Cause he was like pointed to his kids and was like, I never thought I'd have kids like that. Cause his kids were assholes, but I'm like, you're an asshole. This kid's an asshole. And you like him. You're all assholes. This isn't an anomaly.
A baker's dozen of assholes, huh?
Yeah.
More or less. All right. No quotes then. AC, how about you, sir?
You know, no quotes that stand out that just jump off the page to me. I don't find Wes Anderson incredibly quotable. There's a lot to talk about in the film, but there's not a quote that just pops off the page.
Fair enough. Let's go to 5 fun facts. They showed the film to Jason Schwartzman's uncle. If you didn't know, well, shame on you, because that's Francis Ford Coppola. Also, Talia Shire is his mother. And his biggest reaction was that the case of wine glimpsed in an early dinner scene was from one of his own winery's biggest competitors in the Napa Valley. This may or may not have been a joke on Wes Anderson's part. Number 2. Once Bill Murray read the screenplay, he wanted to be in the movie so badly he requested to appear in it for free. But because of SAG union rules, he had to legally be paid scale. He worked for the day rate minimum for smaller indie film projects. Wes Anderson estimated that Bill Murray made about $9,000 for this film.
He was overpaid.
I don't buy that he asked to be in the film. Murray's weird, man. Mm-hmm. Like he'll read a script and then disappear and won't tell you that he's going to actually do your project until he just shows up. Like
on day one, yep.
Yes, there are so many stories about and having never read the script, showing up, just agreeing to do the project. I don't buy that.
Uh-oh. We've got a skeptic. Number 3. Originally, Wes Anderson and Owen Wilson did not want to cast young actor Mason Gamble in the part because of his very recognizable role as 1993's Dennis the Menace. Gamble instantly impressed Anderson by making adjustments instantly and perfectly. Anderson called him an acting computer. I forgot they made a Dennis the Menace movie until right then and there.
Yeah.
That was about 15 years too late. The inspiration, I mean, it's like, what's next? A Marmaduke? Oh, wait, they did that too. Never mind.
Did they?
Is Andy Capp in the greenlit section at Netflix anytime soon?
Let's do Beetle Bailey.
Yeah.
Garfield got 2 films, but Heathcliff can't get shit. The inspiration for Max's expulsion from Rushmore Academy was taken from Owen Wilson's real life. As a sophomore at St. Mark High School in Dallas, Texas, Rushmore co-writer Owen Wilson was expelled for stealing his geometry teacher's textbook with all the answers and had to attend Thomas Jefferson High School to complete the 10th grade. Stealing a textbook, that's more whimsical. Guys, you can beat the shit out of a teacher if they make you give up your phone and only get 2-day suspension now.
But only if somebody's filming that happen.
Right.
Yeah, maybe because I went to public school, but I'm like, we had some wild shit happen that was just like 1-day detention.
Right. I mean, the running hat gag was putting the old tack on your teacher's chair.
Yeah, yeah.
Would that just got a, oh, you boys, and a finger waggle? Maybe.
Oh, we had kids that would like climb out of the window and go take off running and then like come back to class later at the end of class and disrupt it and come back in the window or just fucking flip furniture over. Like, I went to a good public school, Crown Point High School in Indiana. And it's, I mean, it was.
What do bad schools in Indiana like? What's that like?
Is that like the white? Is that like the white lean on me in Indiana?
I don't know. It was chaotic.
What town is that in Indiana?
Crown Point.
I don't know where that is.
It's in Indiana.
It's like an hour southeast of Chicago.
Oh, I
so
was
like
born
really
I was,
far northwest.
Yeah, I was born in Indianapolis. That's why. I moved on as three. My parents had the good sense to get the hell out of that horrible state. The number five, even
so you
though
landed in New Jersey.
Yeah, Princeton. I mean. Mr. Arkansas, Spurgeon.
Hey, dude, I left there. I went to Louisiana, and then I got to New York as quick as I could.
Even though he was only 17 years old during filming, Jason Schwartzman could already grow a beard and was already too hairy for his 15-year-old character. So Wes Anderson made him wax his hands and chest. He said, "I had to get my hands, chest and hands waxed regularly to get passed as a high school student." Then in the Blu-ray commentary, he said he was not pleased that his chest is barely glimpsed in the wrestling scene.
Went through the waxing, not used.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Oh, at least let me know so I can go and apply for the pre-OnlyFans Twinks version out there, if you will.
I feel like even for the glimpse, though, he couldn't have just had like a full chest of hair. That would have been odd.
Are you going to?
Sorry, it's a glimpse, but yeah.
There were hairy kids in high school.
Yo, there was a kid in my seventh grade who was a full on Scott Howard from Teen Wolf. The kid was shaving and he had like an Oscar Gamble tuft hair chest popping, a chest hair shirt. And the kid 13, wow. Full on shaving. So normally I'm like, yeah, but I knew this. Actually, I was friends with this kid for a while. Anywho, those are five fun facts. I don't know how fun they were, but whatever. We got to fill subject time here anyway. Let's get
four facts.
Four? I did five.
No, you did five, but I'm skeptical of one.
Oh, that's fair. All right. Fact checker AC Rowe, I cannot wait for you to kind of National Enquirer this shit later on. We're going to get right to the crowd version fun of this, and we're going to see what questions they have for you, Lisa, in Ask a Gutter. You know the drill, AC. I love you. At So Wizard Podcast. Well, statement alert, not a question. I saw this in the movie theater. And I don't remember anything about it. Not usually a good sign.
Yeah.
At Lord Snurts, turns out Woody Allen isn't my only blind spot for movies. I haven't seen a single Wes Anderson film. Skipping predictions, but I'll ask a gutter. What Wes Anderson film is worth a watch?
I like The Royal Tenenbaums. I mean, but here's the thing with even me going over Rushmore. It really doesn't take much to impress me movie-wise. Like, I'll see something and I'm like, that was fun. I feel good. This one was so bad that it made me angry that I spent my time watching it.
All right. Save the rest of those points. AC, you got a Wes Anderson film that you'd like to mention as one you find enjoyable?
I would say, of all of them, Rushmore. I'm not a Wes Anderson fan, but of all of them, this one at least tells a little bit of a story.
Right. I've only seen two. Royal Tenenbaums is a diarrhea geyser from a police horse's asshole level of awful. So
I do want to see the newest one, though.
Which
one with Tom Hanks, Asteroid City? No, none of that.
What, Steve Zissou or Life Aquatic or whatever that is? Or
no, it's
Dog Hotel for Dogs.
Asteroid City. Want to see that one.
I'll Yeah, I'll wait for your review. I'm not going to be wasting an hour and 45. Joe loves Ken. This is Jason Schwartzman's film debut. Who do you think got on the job? His uncle Francis Ford Coppola or his cousin Nick Cage?
How am I not understanding, realizing people's crazy lineage?
Nepo babies.
I say his uncle.
Sure. Also, how awesome would Thanksgiving be if you had Nicolas Cage as your older cousin?
Yeah, that would be the best Thanksgiving of all time. There's nothing. Really? I'll spend any holiday with him. Arbor Day.
Depends on which Nick Cage you're getting.
I'm interested in your line of thinking. Yeah. Please proceed.
No, I mean, like, if you're getting cool, crazy Raising Arizona Nick Cage, or you're getting bad Southern accent Con Air Nick Cage. Those are two different guys to hang out with, man.
Cameron Poe, 10
times
out of 10.
Put the back in the box. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to hang out. No, don't want to hang out with that Nick Cage.
I'll take any version.
Can you imagine him from Con Air Nick Cage going, I just want to eat a bunch of turkey. Instead of, I just want to find a bunch of rockets. That was my Nick Cage impression. 3.5 out of 10. Next, at Rex Crumb. Goddamn, Christmas has come most early with another Wes Anderson takedown. So is this the most, in quotes, Bill Murray role that Bill Murray has played in all of his Wes Anderson films?
Meaning the closest to who he actually is?
Is this his most Wes Anderson-y character portrayal?
You know, let me say yeah, because this is the most boring I have ever seen Bill Murray. He's so flat through it. Like, he's an asshole, but not even like an interesting asshole. He's just kind of one note all throughout. When he tells Jason Schwartzman's character, or Jason Schwartzman, I guess, that he's in love with the teacher, he's like, I'm in love with her. But there's no, he's not saying it any differently than he says anything else in the film. He doesn't have any kind of like different inflection or mood or look in his eye when he talks about his kids. It's the whole thing is so bad. It's terrible. Like, if he had to audition for that, he would not have got, and if he was not Bill Murray, he would not be in that movie or any movie.
See, I thought his character in The Royal Tenenbaums was absolutely flat as a pancake and had absolutely no substance to it whatsoever. This, by de facto, you know, by default, excuse me, is the better role, as I've seen. AC, want to write away in that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, and not to jump too far into the performances, I think are one of the redeeming qualities of the show, including Bill's.
Mm-hmm.
The character's supposed to be flat. There's not supposed to be over the top of, I mean, he's competing with a child over the love of this woman's. I think everything would be calm and measured and direct, and he's in love with her. It's as matter of fact as that. I'm in love with her. Mm. I mean, he's not going to cry. He's not going to scream. No, I do think that this is very Bill Murray-esque. And so I would say, yes, it's the most Bill Murray of all Bill Murray roles in Wes Anderson films. Yeah, your words, not mine.
At Delvin Cox, I legit have no clue what that movie is. Laughing, crying emoji. At Bango 2331, same bro. I heard them reference it during the Tenenbaums episode, but that's it. At Delvin Cox, I think Kevin Goatee's making this shit up. This ain't a real movie. 5 laughing, crying emojis. At Delvin Cox, posting the gif of the woman freaking out on a plane and saying, this motherfucker ain't real. At Screen Rundown, that OMG, that literally had me LOL at work. At Delvin Cox, Kevin out here telling me to watch fake movies, LOL. At Ken Bjorn Turner, if 3/4 of the people are saying, what movie is this? How does this meet the criteria for the show? At Delvin Cox, I Googled it, and it's apparently supposed to be really good, or this is just an excellent troll job. At Ken Bjorn the Viking, gif of the troll. And that's that. I like the woman for losing her shit on a plane gift. That was a nice little sprinkle.
That was a good time. I appreciate that.
Was that the Delta woman?
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
The white girl is probably on mescaline, but, you know, whatevs. Time to close Ask a Gutter. And by the way, Lisa, no one listens to the end of podcasts, so we do our quotes, what's wrong with me? Our plugs in the beginning.
Smart. I love it.
Thank you. What are you up to, Lisa? Share the world where what you're up to and where we can find you.
Well, I am about to hit the road for almost the entirety of November and December. I have so many shows. And they're going to be all over. I'm recording my first special in Milwaukee in December.
Congrats.
Ticket link is not up because we are going back and forth on what the ticket price should be. Thank you, by the way. So if you follow me on Instagram, please do that. It's Olympian Lisa Curry, and all my show information will be there. I'll be everywhere from like all over Denver and then just a bunch of stuff east of that and south.
Have fun.
Thanks.
AC Rowe, what are you up to?
I've got a new show that just premiered on Hulu. It's called The Conversations Project. Check it out. Watch it. Really getting a good response so far, but would absolutely welcome the numbers, the viewers, all of that. So please check out The Conversations Project on Hulu. And you can follow me and my company at Ugly Dog Entertainment on Instagram.
That, friends, is an open plea for you to get those numbers up so The Conversation can have a season two.
Season two, season three, please.
There we go. Now we're got awesome. Eyes on the prize. Of course, leave that 5-star rating for this beloved podcast, Gutting the Sacred Cow, on all podcast platforms, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com, if you want to say hi or to advertise with us. And fantasy football jibber jabber smack in the middle of the season, over 60%, giving you the best goddamn NFL bets week in, week out, as well as top fantasy plays with jokes. Unlike those chuckleheads on ESPN and other lesser known networks. Gutting the Sacred Cow everywhere. Of course, fantasy football jibber jabber on YouTube and all podcast platforms available. Lisa, it is now your turn to walk into the spotlight, take a little curtsy, and get ready to do what I think you're going to do with ease. And that, of course, is Gut the
Sacred
Cow. So harmonious. I love it. You're up, Lisa. Let's hear it.
All right. Where do you want me to start? Because I took some notes here.
The beginning is great.
So I will say, the first time I watched this, I was kind of like half watching it. Do you know, like, when you... My feeling after watching the first time was... I forgot everything immediately, but I remembered that I didn't like it. Like when you meet somebody and you can't remember why you think they're a shitty person, but you just walked away from the conversation like, fuck that person. And then years later, you're just like, I just have this vague memory that I don't like them and I don't remember why. It's like your nature's way of warning you to not revisit. And I did. I rewatched it today right before this. And when I first started watching it, like the first couple scenes, I was like, this isn't that bad. And it's just, and then it just becomes terrible. I think the best part of the film is the composition. That's great. And I think if it didn't have good music, we would not be so distracted and we would know that the movie is terrible. One thing that I hate about it, that I hate about all films that do this, I can't stand when teenagers are so self-aware. I don't even know adults that are that self-aware, let alone 15-year-olds. I don't know 15-year-olds that speak like this. They're fucking idiots. I hate when they talk like adults. I hate when they're self-aware. I appreciated the wrestling scene. I love wrestling movies. That's a weird thing about me. So I was like, okay, we got that, mm-hmm. I guess. There's some things that like didn't make sense to me. Like, so Bill Murray's driving a Rolls Royce, but then his pool is disgusting. But then his wife is there sitting with some other guy. And like rewatching it, I was like, oh, wait, was he going through a divorce? I'm like thinking like, yeah, he was going through a divorce. But then later in the movie, his wife files for a divorce because he's in love with the teacher. His wife, who has, I think, what she says 4 words in the whole film. That's another thing. Sorry to be a woman about it. But the teacher doesn't have like her own identity. She's just like this object of desire between a fucking teenager and a gross old man. And then there's just no other women functionally in the movie. I don't buy him driving a Rolls Royce and then having a disgusting pool. It just like doesn't make any sense. This is what that said.
We got the decoder from what's that fucking film?
Zodiac?
No. The one with Doctor Strange, a Cumberbatch. What's it?
Oh, I have no idea.
Come on. What's the name? Well, it's the World War II one that broke the Nazis code that they saw. What's that?
It's not Windwalkers.
The Turing, right? The Turing.
Yeah.
Okay. Took long enough, Kevin. Maybe. Thanks. Thanks for that long detour that got us half a payoff. Cool. Sorry, Lisa. Please continue.
No, you're great. Another thing that, well, and I guess this came out in 98, so maybe it wasn't overused by then. But when he asks Bill Murray if he had been in Vietnam, and I'm like, why is this always like the United States has been involved in 1,000 wars and none of them end? They're all going on continuously. And I don't understand like why the reference is always Vietnam. But, you know, seeing that it was written in 98, maybe it wasn't like overused then. But it was
age appropriate for Bill Murray at that point.
Oh, I guess that would make sense. I just feel like maybe doing stand-up too, like the number of people that have the same hack joke where they're like, oh, such and such was my Vietnam. And I'm like, guys, it is 2023. Move on.
Yeah, at least go to the Gulf War, for Christ's sakes, or the Afghanistan skirmish.
Literally anything. There's been so much.
But he would have been in Vietnam, like of that age. Parents of that age of the 15-year-old in 98 would have been in Nam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a little point.
Yeah, no, that the math tracks.
Okay,
I just think it's. I mean, I just
I
think
can add.
Currently, it's overused. I think, but I wasn't considering that it was that this movie came out in 98 when maybe that wasn't a reference everyone was using all the time. The relationship with the teacher is insane. I hate it. It reminded me of like Licorice Pizza. But Licorice Pizza is at least a beautiful film. It doesn't make any sense. There's no plot. There's no reason for the movie, but it's gorgeous. So that's entertaining.
Licorice Pizza was beautiful to turn off because that movie just sucked.
Bit hard.
Balls. Hard
it
balls.
Was,
bad.
I couldn't. I like if I saw maybe a print of it, I'd be like, oh, that's a nice shot from the film. But I can't imagine wanting to watch that again. And I love P.T. Anderson otherwise.
It's a circle jerk for 1970s LA with no real substance other than that.
Nothing. And this also, it's just like this weird, I feel like so much of, I don't know. There's like this, I feel like the filmmaker's trying to tell us like, yeah, but like a teacher would find me hot when I was a hot 15-year-old. Like, I feel like they're seeing these characters as extensions of them.
I can totally see that. I can totally see like, look at me. I'm whimsical. I'm just weird and quirky as fuck. And it's crazy if women don't want to sleep with me, especially older ones who are bereaving.
Yeah. And like, also, of course. And then also later in the movie, when the teacher and Bill Murray, Rosemary and Herman, there's a scene way after they go to dinner together, the four of them, where they introduce themselves to one another. And I'm like, they just sat through a fucking 2-hour dinner or something and they didn't catch each other's names. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, who okayed this script? It's
Owen
just...
Wilson.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just keep that in mind. Owen Wilson said, yeah, this one's good. Yeah, no rewrites needed.
Listen, I appreciate him putting his brother in it because he's cute. And that was a nice little escape. Also, like the idea that a teenager at dinner would be so outlandish and disrespectful and drinking scotch is so far beyond any reality I could imagine. I'm like, him having something to say to Luke Wilson and smarting off and hitting him with his fork or whatever he does. I'm like, I would have been I would have been removed from the planet.
Yeah, that's a good
solar system.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, the amount of disrespect shown toward Luke Wilson. I mean, Luke Wilson's like, I just met you. I don't know who the fuck you are. Like, I'm gonna give you a butter knife at right below your eyeball, right in your orbital socket. Mm-hmm. Like something like that was quite surprising.
There's an acceptance to like a Wes Anderson film. I'm assuming there has to be an acceptance of the absurd, right? There has to be an acceptance of not everything is going to play out exactly the way it would in real life. And of all of the absurdity in it, I find that less absurd than other parts of his personality and the film itself. I mean, I get it. It was rude. And I've seen 15-year-olds maybe not drinking scotch unless you're in Louisiana.
Unless they're French.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the drinking age was pretty young when I was in Louisiana, but of all the things to be unbelievable, that one just stands out as a little odd.
See, I think one person can act outlandish. It still has to be grounded in some reality. Like the adults don't really react. They're just like, oh, please don't do that. Why would you talk to me like that? You just met me. It's like, if he's going to be that crazy, then people have to react to it. Otherwise we're being told if everyone is just kind of like low energy and not really reacting to it, then that's a way of telling us like, this is normal. That's regular behavior.
That's a Wes Anderson film.
Yeah. This is Upper West Side Parenting in an hour, 40 minute film.
This is why people should be sterilized.
Yeah. This is like, oh my God, my kid turned 5 and you're not on antidepressants yet? You're a shitty parent.
All people should be sterilized or just certain people?
Most, almost
all. I would agree.
Yeah. Just enough so that like where there's new generations to like fix my car and I guess fix my
She's
teeth
got priorities.
Or whatever I need. Yeah. We need employees in the world. I already talked about this, but the fact that like Bill Murray's wife is asking him for a divorce. Also, he says, I'm getting sued for a divorce. I'm like, is that what happens? I don't.
That's what happens. You file suit against your
partner. Oh, okay. I was like, what?
You file for divorce.
But
here comes experience in the equation.
A little bit.
It makes no sense that there's like, why was she not talking to him when they were at the house together? And she's just kind of talking to some other guy. Also, he's like chucking golf balls into the water and nobody reacts at all. Right. Like if his wife was already not talking to him and sitting with another man the whole time, you think she would at least like look at him like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well,
you know?
She's clearly having an affair with that guy at that point. Bill Murray, nobody's paying attention to Bill Murray. There's something that happens where you, as you become an older man, you kind of become invisible to those things around you. And his invisibility, I think that's just a way of him acting out and nobody pays any attention to him. Nobody sees that he's there, even though he's there and he's probably there all the time. She has forgotten him she's cheating on him before he's cheating on her, or at least before he's cheating with the teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that makes sense.
It is weird though.
I think at a point, after like the halfway point of the movie, everything was grating on me. Dad is a barber. I didn't even write a commentary on that. I just wrote his dad is a barber. And then I started to check out and check my emails and just half watch the end of it. I also, there's no world in which a grown woman is going to, like if a kid was hit by a car, you'd be like, okay, come around to the door. Long before this, he tries to kiss her and everything. There's no world in which a grown woman would let a wet person lay on their bed. Yeah. It's raining. He's soaking wet. He's got his head on her pillow. He has his fucking shoes on the bed. I'm like, there's that. And that goes back to like, this is his outlandish behavior. She's not his parent. She's
I wrote down, I'm more shocked that she has a twin bed all by herself.
This is the thing.
That's the same size of a bed I had in college, for Christ's sakes, in the dorm rooms.
She's sleeping in her dead husband's former childhood room.
That's I missed that then.
That, okay, that's why that. It's a twin okay. bed.
Okay. Even more reason to keep the bed dry.
Absolutely. But she is in her dead husband's room. She actually, and I'm going to disagree with you saying she doesn't have a lot of her own. She's got a very rooted backstory in that she is still there mourning the loss of her husband. It doesn't explain why she has a dalliance with a kid and why she has an affair with Bill Murray, but she is broken and rooted. The only reason she's there, she's got a degree from, she's got a PhD from Harvard, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The only reason she's teaching first grade is so she can live in that house and teach at the school that her husband was a student at. And that's why it's a twin size bed. I'm more concerned about the fact she wasn't smart enough to figure out, wait a minute, you got hit by a car, but then you climbed up a ladder and then you knocked on the window. Yeah.
And a very little amount of blood, and the fact that she's kissing the fake blood too.
She has technically a backstory, but she doesn't, she's not active in that world at all. Her entire character, every scene is like maybe it mentions her dead husband, but it has nothing really to do with him. It's like it's all perfunctory so that we can continue having this conversation so that this kid can lock her into a conversation. He doesn't actually give a fuck that her husband is dead. Nobody does in this film.
No, but
it has nothing to do. Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting, you care that his wife is dead. Like that's addressed. That's somebody being a full character and having like a dead spouse. This is not. This is totally perfunctory.
I agree with the Robin Williams comment. If you look at the film though and realize the way the audience sees her is the way that she's seen by Bill and by Max, Jason Schwartzman. If you'll notice, they don't ever dive in. They don't delve in. They don't get to be part of her life. And what happens to them both at the end? They end up without her. And so wanting to give Wes Anderson more credit than I really want to, maybe that's why she doesn't have more to do in the film. Maybe that you're seeing her the way that they see her and treat her.
I mean, they just treat her as an object of desire. They don't care. They don't ask her about her. They're just hurling themselves at her. It's not about and they both actually building a relationship with her.
Yes.
Cool. What else, Lisa?
Those are all my thoughts.
That's it. Really, okay.
That's it. And then the end when I don't understand like why Bill Murray and Jason Schwartzman become friends, the whole giving him the pin for, being on time for punctuality or whatever. And then them riding bikes together. I'm like, this whole thing is like, I have nieces and nephews that are teenagers and I love them. But I'm just like the idea of me as an adult woman having a friendship with a 15-year-old in any capacity showed in the movie is beyond any reality I can imagine.
It gets a lot of people fired these days.
Yeah, this is like a real kind of would be Mary Kay Letourneau situation.
What would you give this movie on a scale of 1 to 10?
4.
4.
Four, and 2 of those points are because Luke Wilson is in it and he's cute.
Unlike broken nose brother Owen Wilson.
I just don't like blonde guys. I'm so sorry.
As a blonde gal, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
AC Rowe, why don't you knock some dirt out of those cleats and hit the batter's box?
Well, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm defending the film because I there are some points that she made that made me think some things, but I'm saying they end up alone. I am completely forgetting the end where they end up dancing after the most ridiculous play that you've ever seen before. I want to start by saying I am not a Wes Anderson fan. I am not a fan of anyone that makes art for the sake of making art. I think you should make something that's amazing and then let it be art. And I feel like they set out in all movies, all Wes Anderson films, to be more artistic than they need to be. However, with this film, I will say I think the performances are the best of any Wes Anderson film that I've seen. Everyone plays true to form. It starts off really nice, really sweet. You've got that first 26, 27 minutes of the storyline that actually starts to make sense. And I watched it last night for the first time in about 15 years. And I was like, well, maybe I'm wrong. And then you're right. It does go off the rails. As soon as he gets kicked out of school, it gets absolutely ridiculous. Even the reason that he gets kicked out of school. You know, I would like to have more to defend in the film than just the performances, but I'm going to have to agree with you that the kid in the bed, and I'm not talking about being wet, like what woman other than Mary Kay Letourneau is going to lay on top of a student and get that angle, wiping blood off his head and letting, and then being surprised when she lets him kiss her, right? That's absolute. And like what happens, like Bill Murray runs over his car, which I thought was a funny scene. Which is weird because I normally think Wes Anderson's like, oh, we wrote maybe a joke, don't have a punchline, let people just walk away fast. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to walk away fast. We're going to change something, or we're going to bring new music in just to change the scene. I thought that scene was funny. Then he follows it up with cutting the brake line. I'm like, okay, are there going to be consequences? He gets arrested, and then nothing happens with it. He just quits school. He's 15. What world do you live in that you can quit school at 15 and there be no repercussions? He just goes and starts cutting hair for his father. I think there are some fun scenes in there, like when he cuts the kid's hair and the kid gives him the Swiss Army knife. But by and large, I'm going to say this was not the film for me.
I also, to your point with the no consequences of getting after getting arrested, I kept thinking like this kid's dad is a barber and he's going to an expensive private school
on scholarship.
On scholarship, but all the accessories, all the clubs and stuff, that stuff is expensive. I mean, I don't know what all a scholarship would cover for a private high school, but I'm like, I can't imagine you can sign up for every single extracurricular. And also getting arrested is fucking expensive. You know, like if I got arrested, my parents would be like, are you out of your mind? It's $1,500.
And like it's no big deal. I will say, though, as we're talking and we're talking about the ridiculousness and then back to the teacher, the aquarium, the $8 million aquarium they're building, again, to show that they ignore her, she goes, nobody asked me if I wanted one. Right. And just to it's their competition with each other. But all in all, the film is acted wonderfully, in my opinion. I could do without the Wes Anderson music, the cue changes that are two levels too high, just so you got to make sure, you know, hey, look, pay attention to this because there's a hole in the story. But after the first 20 something minutes, you don't really have to watch the film. Once he gets kicked out of school, turn it off.
Yeah.
This is almost like, not to the level, but Goodfellas, Pesci dying. You're like, well, now that Pesci's gone, a lot of momentum's gone.
Well, I mean, there's just that's when the wheels come off the entire film. And I thought you did a really good job articulating, you know, points that are wrong throughout the film. I think a lot of people are going to agree with you. I agree.
Give me a number 1 to 10, AC.
I thought she was generous with a 4. I'm going to say a 3.
Ooh. What do you think of Royal Tenenbaums, by the way? Just got a beat on your taste for
a 1.
Yeah, that's what I gave it.
Oh, wow. See, I haven't seen it in years. I remember that's the thing where I'm like, I remember really enjoying it, but I couldn't tell you why. I remember almost no scenes in it. Although I'm like, I really like Anjelica Houston. I enjoy her in anything.
I don't.
And she's a tertiary character in that too, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really likes Wes Anderson films. They have affection for the people in them. They've been told they're supposed to like them. They're supposed to watch them. They're smart. And if you don't like it, you're obviously dumb. You're not smart. You're missing something.
Exactly.
And as a result, people watch these films and, you know, I hate his music. Some people love his music. They have fond memories of the time that they watched the film. They went to the movie and saw it. They smelled popcorn. They did all that stuff, but not just overall, not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of similarities with the Royal Tenenbaums episode with Scotty. Oh God, I forgot his name. I'm sorry. Scotty Landell, I believe. Yeah. He did Tenenbaums, and there's a lot of commonalities that were discussed. These notes brought to you by guttingthesacredcow.com, where you can find yourself a hat, mug, t-shirt, I don't know, flip-flops. Do they have that there? Probably. All that fun stuff, guttingthesacredcow.com. Leave us a 5-star rating, 2 or 3 sentence review. And of course, the following on the social medias help, GTSC podcast on the Twit. And of course, Gutting the Sacred Cow podcast on TikTok, Instagram. Notes. Oh, good. We're opening the film by Max ripping off the Matt Damon solving the math problem on the board in Good Will Hunting scene. Oh, good.
Yes.
We're off to
there was something else they ripped off. Sorry, there was something else they ripped off at the end. And I cannot think of the movie. Maybe you guys know. At the end, when Bill Murray and the kid are together, Jason Schwartzman, and they say something to the effect of like, oh, I guess she wanted us to be together. And I'm like, what is that from? Because I was like, there's some other movie where there's
Ghost
like
Dad
guys
with Bill Cosby.
I haven't seen that. I was like, there's another movie where there's like two guys.
Doggy Bottom USA.
Going after a girl. And
Something About Mary.
But she like gives her number to the one and they call. Fuck, I'm vaguely remembering this, I think, where she gives one guy the other guy's number as her number, and then he calls, and then they realize they're both the guys that were chasing her, and they were like, oh, I guess she wanted us to be friends. And I'm
this
like,
is this is some kind of 27 Dresses shit. I haven't seen it.
No, it wouldn't have been, because I have seen no rom-coms. I mean, I've seen, I think, two.
I love fuck, a good
I'm
rom-com.
I'm not going to remember.
All right.
I'm sorry, but it did rip off something else. Yes.
He's supposed to be 15 in this movie. He looks 28, for Christ's sakes. I mean, this is like Breakfast Club level of old kids in this film. Hey, with the exception of with the Winston Churchill and Popeye, I don't think I've ever, ever liked anyone with a pipe. See Brian Cox for that reason in this film.
I occasionally smoke a pipe.
No, my assumption is correct.
I have to with this beard.
The only thing missing from you is an old bat, like weathered sea captain hat as you sit in a rocking chair.
I have the hat, but the headphones got in the way.
Attention, black people. This is not how white people normally act. We're not all this whimsical, and we don't have lyres and flutes playing in the background as we walk about town. So just for you black people to know that that's not how real life white people go around business. I'm very anti-beret on guys wearing berets. I hate them. Unless it's mm-hmm. rerun from What's Happening, then that is the lone exception.
Well, and the way he wears it is so ridiculous. He just like pulls it all the way down.
Yeah. Even you, Curtis Sliwa from Guardians of the Angels. I know you're doing the Lord's work and all, but the beret part, we don't need that. The red jacket does a great job by itself. AC, I'm with you. I hated every single song in this film. This soundtrack sponsored by Barnes & Noble. I know we're past the point of technology in 2023, but when Bill Murray pulls out that 3-ring binder to write out a check, that's a sign of being a mayor of rich whitey land. Who else has a binder full of checks they just whip out? And this, here you go, son. Go ahead and get yourself a few gobstoppers while you're at it. Do any of you recall helping your teachers out with some kind of chores in class because you had a crush on them? I'm asking you that.
No.
I didn't either. I didn't either, because all my teachers looked like TSA agents at the Oklahoma City airport. No, thanks. Hey, last time I checked, they don't allow large pitchers of lemonade in libraries. Stop it. That doesn't happen. He's got a whole fucking Kool-Aid man sized pitcher of lemonade in the library. No, we all know that librarians would have shut that down. Sorry, your whimsicalness. I did chuckle how they did a play on Serpico. Of all esoteric things to pull out of their ass, I thought that was quite original. So I give a tip of the cap. It's very weird how Max has an 8-year-old boy follow him around everywhere. I'm curious to know, why did he take a page out of Kevin Spacey's playbook? Why do Bill Murray's sons look like the Shermanator from American Pie?
That's funny. They do.
Thank you. Bringing lunch to that meeting at the top of the garage with the rendezvous with the woman is cute. But if you're looking for real belly laughs, keep walking. And if you feel this movie is full of belly laughs, I'll never value you or your opinions because they're dumb. I've smirked watching this film more than I have Royal Tenenbaums, by the way. I did enjoy Bill Murray and Schwartzman pranking each other. The bike, running over the bike, that was fun. Just the back and forth stuff. Because it added, an element of reality to this. Because, as you said before, Lisa, no little 15-year-old is this self-aware and talks and acts like this. Let's also add Scottish to the list of intolerable accents. That Scottish guy, Google Translate, work for me here. Or turn the subtitles.
I enjoy a Scottish accent, but man, some of them, like Glaswegians, I don't know. They're speaking another language entirely.
I love Train Spotting 1 and 2, but Christ almighty, I'm ready to mute it and put the closed captions on. It is rough. So I'm supposed to believe that the British teacher is going to find Bill Murray with skin who looks like he fell asleep face down in a bed of nails more attractive than Luke Wilson. That doesn't happen. This is the same.
Not a world where that is real.
No, Bill Murray is one of the funniest actors who've ever walked this great planet in real life. But in this actor world, no. This is the same level of horse shit that they try to pass us that Shannon Elizabeth would fall for goofy ass Jason Biggs in American Pie 1 and 2.
This is another thing that bothered me about the movie. And I hate to just this is more of a blanket statement. This is so many movies I just can't, I can't. And I know as a comedian, I shouldn't say this, but I cannot handle Judd Apatow stuff anymore because every one of his films is like some beautiful woman who's like, help, I don't know how to live in the world. And it's just like some ugly dork is like, I'll save you. And
Seth Rogen, you mean?
Cute. And that's Seth Rogen, I think, is cute. I mean, he's good looking now. Yeah,
what kind of taste do you have in men? Oh my, he's cute.
He's cute.
Oh my. All right. Well,
I think that's so many movies and shows, and I cannot take it anymore. I'm like,
I've got news for you. Apatow's films have took a precipitous nosedive after 40 Old Virgin. That was the best one. It's still funny, but after
Kelly
that.
Kelly Clarkson.
What's that? Oh yeah. Kelly Clarkson. That's a funny ass moment there. But the rest of this films, they drag on. Have you seen Judd Apatow's editor? No. Trick question. There is none.
I also hated This Is 40 because I was like, it was like, you know that noise you hear when your ears have been blown out by like loud noise and it's just like, that noise started
tinnitus
in my ears. Yeah. After the scene where he's like, so beside himself because he like they don't have any money or whatever, but then you see them in their room and they have like a $40,000 fucking headboard, and then he has like a music studio separate of his house, and I'm like, man, fuck you.
Yeah,
this is not real. Like, everything in your life is so expensive. What are you talking about? You're broke.
That's why they're broke.
Yeah. So let me get this straight. A 15-year-old smokes, drinks, and knows how to cut brake lines. I'll assume if he watched football, he'd be a Raiders fan for sure. We've really slowed down now after Bill Murray and Jason Schwartzman have mended the fences. This plot has come to a grinding halt, like Judd Apatow films. Hey-oh! I think Wes Anderson inserts indie rock into his films just to anger me. The final play is so comically innate. I've smirked more watching this than I have Tropic Thunder. How about that? That's another one I don't like. Ferris Bueller's Day Off and this film have one thing in common. Ferris Bueller, Max Schwartz, a masters of manipulation. Max Schwartz is a master manipulator like Ferris was with Cameron, big time. But Ferris Bueller is a hell of a lot more entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second film. This is the second time that I have watched this film. I don't have any notes on this because I couldn't tell you anything about it pre-rewatch, except for the poster with him wearing the beret and his hand in the air, and that Bill Murray is in this. Quirkiness is the Dracar noir that Wes Anderson and Bill Murray bathe in, like it's a 1980s Guido would. And both have stenches that are overbearing, especially Royal Tenenbaums. This plot, though, is better, as are the characters, than Royal Tenenbaums. Murray is fun in this, way better than Royal Tenenbaums. Again, you know, bread sandwich in that in Royal Tenenbaums. The plays written by Max, original and entertaining. Royal Tenenbaums, I didn't laugh at all, not even a little. This, I smirked a few times. People say that they are hysterically laughing or lying, and they're trying to get critic status on Rotten Tomatoes. Those are the only reasons why. And like you said, AC, you're trying to be more worldly. And if you don't like it, you just didn't get it. Fuck you. It's just not funny. This does not do the emphatic cartwheels and camp pretentious horse shit. Although I feel is on the border of ready to jump in the lake and swim across to camp pretentious horse shit. I was surprised I didn't completely hate this film. Again, Wes Anderson, the first Tenenbaums, I'm like, boy, oh boy, this is a bridge too far. I didn't hate it near as much. Then again, I didn't like this at all. I'll never watch this again. Am I the highest by giving this film a 5 out of 10? I think
you
I am.
The highest. Are you high?
You know what? Maybe I should drop it. The score here to 4.5. It's the lesser of both evils. And the reason why I allow Lisa to do this is because people are saying, oh, you hated Tenenbaums, you're going to love Rushmore. And that's been a common thread with amongst all Wes Anderson films, that those are the top two films. I said, all right, after that, this is where the cutoff is. So here we are. And this film is not good. Didn't hate it. Didn't like it, but didn't hate it. Like I hated Tenenbaums, where I walked away angry and just pausing to go walk around and do something else for 5 minutes and then have to sit back down and strap in and go, and then press unpause. This, I made it through one shot, but it's not fun. Critics, five-star reviews. Spot on. Rushmore is an interesting movie that will appeal to a very small audience, but will nonetheless impress. Nerds, this is for you, so suck it all in. This is where the pretentious horse shit comes into play. Ready? An infectious comedy from start to finish. Yuck. If this was a movie theater, I'd throw something at the screen and go, boo.
You know, I was talking to somebody today, tell them that this is what we were doing tonight. And I was talking about not digging Wes Anderson stuff and how he didn't know how to, he never met a punchline he actually wanted to spend time with and sure. How he struggled with jokes. And he goes, well, I don't think he's a comedic director. I was like, exactly.
Sure.
But they're all supposed to be comedies, but they're not funny.
No, not at all. Precocious, but not precious. Rushmore is a heavy hearted comedy with a light touch. What the fuck does that mean?
That's some word salad.
That is. The script is so charming and quippy that it is not hard to see why this is still many fans' favorite. And they spelled favorite with a U. So already, I don't take you seriously. You're out.
Of course they did.
Don't judge me, but my computer spells mine that way. I don't know why, and I'm not smart enough to change it.
Is it because you were just in London?
Did you just buy it
when I got it. I bought it in Queens, and it's for whatever reason, it thinks it's in London.
Yeah, you bought a hot laptop that got swiped from a terminal at Grand Central.
No, don't say things like that out loud, Kevin.
That's a Hunter Biden's laptop got found. Did you know that? Critics, one-star reviews. The quirkiness seems a little forced, a little overdone. You think?
Yeah, it's a touch, a pinch.
But as heavy-handed as a Spielberg plot, the charm is a little too forced, a story barely believable, and its allure overcalculated. Yes, and amen. Yes. Rushmore is intended to be hip and funny, but it's not really either. When people say comedies, this one never comes up. You're going to argue your top 10, but this never makes it. Unless it's that asshole who shows up to a Super Bowl party who says, "Sports ball, huh? What we're time is a puppy dog?" Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're in the beret. Rushmore is a film with a lot of promise. Unfortunately, most of it gets wasted. Amazon, 5-star reviews. Amazon. This is to movies what Catcher in the Rye is to literature. It's a must. I couldn't even get that out. I have to say I'm a big fan of Wes Anderson. I think his smart, subtle movies are a true breath of fresh air in an industry that is obsessed with raunchy, pointless humor and the bottom line. That being said, I can
this
even
is
admit
the epitome of pointless.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And tell me a film that is not obsessed with the bottom line, because that's what movies are made for, to make money.
No I like business. Also that, like, I guess technically I wouldn't, when I think of the word raunch, I think of, like, you know, Animal House, but it's also a little risque for a 15-year-old to be trying to fuck a 35-year-old or whatever she is.
I mean, we all tried doing that when we were 15. That I can get behind. But being allowed to drink, sip scotch at a dinner table with a stranger and call him an asshole pretty much to his face, that is raunch.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like maybe Wes Anderson wrote this when he was 16 based on fantasies he had of his life. And then they just made it later.
Where I lose. Okay, that being said, I can even admit that his movies are not for everyone. I once saw an interview with him and he was asked what particular audience he thought his movies were for. His response was he thought his fans mostly consist of outsiders and misfits. If you're looking for a more subtle brand of comedy that leaves you thinking and with a smile on your face, then by all means, buy this movie, Smiley Face, signed Michael Bay. No.
Outsiders and misfits?
That's like SLC Punk is an outsider and misfit kind of film.
By outsider and misfit, he means like nerd.
Right.
Not like people on the fringe of society, just people who can't get friends or girls.
It's the autistic audience is what he's going for. For those who went to school around the time frame of this film, they will recognize the bumbling efforts of males trying to articulate more than pablum when it comes to deep romantic feelings. The way the plays capture Apocalypse Now and Platoon is both noteworthy and fun. I want to buy one of those like dive horns like on a subway to announce like a blowhard asshole poster like this. One of those big klaxons. Ooga. Just sound off, like it's a sound effect to cue up that warning. We've got a real blowhard queef bag. This next one. Oh, this is my husband's fourth pair of Clarks and his favorite by far out of all of them. Out of all his shoes, period, come to think of it, they fit exactly as they should, and we should probably buy another pair before the style is discontinued. Highly recommended.
What?
And that's an actual review on Amazon.
Cut and pasted.
Good Lord. You know what, though? At least it's positive.
Yeah. Clarks. Those are a sensible shoe for like an older, sensible person, right?
They make Wallabies, though.
Mm-hmm. Next one, like Ferris Bueller meets Steve Azuzu. Wasn't Steve Azuzu the guy in those car commercials in the 80s?
Played by David Leisure, that really obnoxious guy.
Yep.
Yeah. He was great on Empty Nest.
Wasn't he?
He was.
Fun show. Amazon, one-star reviews. Jason Schwartzman's character is insufferable. If Wes Anderson's intent is to make me hate him and everything he stands for, then he has succeeded. I liken Max to a Holden Caulfield type character who thinks he's so special and important, and everybody else is a vexing phony. He's not funny. This kid is just unaware of reality, and sending him to a public school was a gag that did exactly that. Quote, "My dad is just a doctor," he says. This supposedly self-deprecating arrogance is neither entertaining nor appropriate. This is the worst Wes Anderson film I have ever seen, and the writing. I was frankly offended to see someone write something this bad. As a writer myself, I see that this is the unholy trinity of being dull, unappealing due to no true conflict, and of lasting message. Signed, John Stamos. Well, I'll be damned. More dribble, not a keeper. Rent before you buy to prevent regrets. Hey, the same thing can be said about dating too, I believe. I cannot understand how people rave about this movie the way they do. Perhaps I lack an artistic sense, the ability to pick up subtle clues and hints, a severe deficiency in satire appreciation because I didn't like this movie one bit. Sounds like there's more deep-rooted issues here than besides missing social cues here, folks. I have never in all my life ever walked out or stopped watching a movie because I thought it was bad. I weathered Deep Blue Sea. Stop. Deep Blue Sea is fucking amusing and entertaining. I disagree. That film is enjoyable. And Deep Rising. No offense to the people that love them. I plowed my way through Robot Holocaust without the Mystery Science Theater 3000 guys doing the voiceover parody even. I survived The Mummy Returns, but after 30 minutes of this DVD, I had to stop it and watch a different movie. I later resumed. Go ahead. What's up?
You know what this reviewer is saying? He has bad taste in movies.
Sure. I later resumed viewing thinking that there had to be something I missed. Perhaps the movie starts slow and then picks up. Perhaps the developing conflict amongst the characters will pick up speed. Who knows? I watched all 90-odd something excruciating minutes of this movie without laughing a single time. This movie was recommended to me from a friend who, like many, thought it was one of the best comedies they've ever seen, and I didn't laugh once. Apparently, there are people who love this movie. I've talked to several of them, but none of them can give a reason why. I continue to think why I didn't like the movie, how I missed the spectacular humor, or the deep character development. I am left with only one conclusion that answers the questions, and that is the one that many people will not agree with. This film was awful. AC Rowe, did Lisa Curry gut the sacred cow?
I don't know how we can say anything other than absolutely.
I think yes. And I also will say, I hate when people say, I will also say, just fucking say it. Don't say I have to say or I will say. This film was on the precipice, like a suicide jumper. And we're that cop with like the cattle prod going, go ahead. Zzz, zzz. And that's what Lisa did. He just zzz, this film and the jumping off into the abyss. Where it belongs with other floating dead people from this.
Well,
film.
I will say,
zing. We're going to do a very funny, quick segment called "Who's Funnier, ChatGPT or KG?" I asked ChatGPT to write three jokes about Rushmore, only three because I am not going to put my friends through that kind of punishment any more than that. Number one, why did Max Fisher bring a ladder to Rushmore Academy? Because he wanted to reach new heights in his extracurricular activities. Ah!
That's bad.
Lisa's writing that down for her special Milwaukee.
I guess at least that's a clear joke, which is more than we got in the entirety of the movie.
Yes. Obtuse humor 101, kids. If you love it, this is for you. If not, you have taste. What's Max Fisher's favorite subject in school? Drama, of course. He's a master of the dramatic exit. If this was an urban room, the keys would come out and be jingling and jangling right now. Why did Herman Bloom decide to become a beekeeper? He realized that dealing with bees was more predictable than Max's schemes. Safe to say that ChatGPT remains winless and I remain undefeated. That was atrocious. That will do it for another fantastic week of Gutting the Sacred Cow. AC Rowe, Lisa Curry, thank you so much for hanging out. We will see you next time. Out.
Thanks for having me.
See ya.